Lowe's knows how to help you save this 4th of July. Upgrade your laundry routine with the new and exclusive first-of-its-kind all-in-one vented laundry combo. Wash and dry in just 68 minutes. Save up to 40% on select major appliances. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Shop Samsung this July 4th at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. I'm your host, Jason Tardik, and welcome to the pre-market trading segment where I'm going to tell you a little bit about what you can expect from today's guest, a quick little update in the market, and something going on in my personal life. Well, if you haven't, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go follow us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram. You can watch the full episode on YouTube, which is always fun. And make sure to give us 5 stars. All your feedback is reviewed by our team and myself. So please give us any type of feedback or a guest you want or a theme you want us to cover. Let me tell you, we have some stacked episodes lined up. And speaking of stacked episodes, this is one that fits that bill. Lindsay Hubbard from Summer House, who just congratulations, Lindsay, if you are listening and if you are here, make sure to go follow Lindsay. Just had a baby girl, Gemma Britt. So a huge congratulations to Lindsay. In this episode, she was still pregnant. We recorded this, of course, before she had her baby girl, Gemma Britt. But we are so happy for you, Lindsay. Congratulations. And I am so excited for all the Money Mafia to be listening to this episode, because you're going to hear in the recap, David is back and we are talking for 20 minutes. But, you know, the way that Lindsay holds a conversation, the way she articulates her thoughts, the way she speaks with power and has this presence that it doesn't care what you think, you're going to get the truth. You're going to get what she's thinking, whether it's business, it's financial, it's personal, it's professional, whatever it is. You never have to wonder where you stand with Lindsay. And that is definitely one of her superpowers and definitely a trading secret I'm going to take is, you know, what, there's some people in this world, there's some people that come on this podcast that when they speak, you listen, right? You listen. You don't have to like it. You don't have to love it. You don't have to agree with it, but you listen. And so you're going to hear that with Lindsay. And I think there's going to be a lot of trading secrets in this episode, from real estate to, you know, summer house trading secrets and everything in between. But that was probably my big takeaway, truly. And there's a lot of them. And make sure, again, you stay tuned to the recap. Now, a little update in the market. There was a little movement in the market here because there's some economic data out there that was a little questionable. Corporate earnings was hurt a little bit. And we're also seeing, as interest rates come down, inflation's going up, but so is unemployment. So we're in a fickle position of, like, what do we do with interest rates and what's economic data going to continue to look like? We'll see what it looks like. You know, right now the market did bounce back after that. You know, everything's trading for the most part at all-time highs. So we'll see. It'll be such an interesting couple of years to see how things pan out with so many different moving economic policies. And we'll just pay very close attention to the indicators, the numbers that come in, and make sure to inform you. But as always, make sure you're getting your money to work. If you have expensive debt, pay it off. And if you're sitting on cash, get it to work, because people are making 5% on cash these days. And in the market, they are making a whole lot of money with returns. And so if you're not making money on your money, you will fall behind with inflation. Some statistics out there that I think you might find interesting. Some New Year's financial resolutions. 56% of Americans say inflation is their biggest financial concern for 2025. 2 in 3 people say that 2025 will be better for their wallet than 2024. 52% of Americans are planning to make finance-related New Year's resolutions. 41% of people making a financial resolution say that they want to save more money, while 21% want to make sure they're spending less, and 20% are really focused on just making more money. 62% of Americans think that the New Year's resolutions add just too much pressure, so they're not even getting involved with it. And 69% of people think it will be harder to keep their New Year's resolutions in 2025 than in 2024, which is interesting to me. I wonder why. Go and give us 5 stars on the reviews and let us know what your New Year's resolution is. And make sure you also submit your questions for the Jason Tells All episode, because that's coming up. And I know David is very, very excited for that episode. little update for my personal life. Last week I was in Tampa Bay. If you haven't listened to the Dr. Omar episode, go listen to it. Like, if you're curious what Invisalign should cost, what braces should cost, what a cavity should cost, what veneers should cost, anything about the dental industry, you'll learn that there's a lot of pricing disparity. And Dr. Omar will tell you everything about that in the episode we did. But I had one issue with one of my crowns and it wasn't sealed properly. So I had to go to Tampa. He took it off. We did a new crown, got it back in action, and honestly had a great week while I was there. The weather was beautiful, got a lot of great workouts in, good dinners with friends, and it was fun to be there. And now I'm back in Charlotte for the holiday. Mom's here, dad's here, of course, my brother, Billy, and myself. And I'm just excited to kind of kick it for a little bit. A lot more work to do, but I'm going to really kind of slow roll it in. It has been a crazy year. You'll hear me talk a little bit about in the recap this episode. So definitely stay tuned to that. It's been an extremely successful year as far as business goes. And it's also been very unsuccessful in certain personal matters, but in general, just a massive, massive, massive growth year. And it, like, at times I look back at this year, I'm like, man, this year felt like 10 years. Like, in dog years, I talk about the recap, it's like 7. I feel like this was one of those. This was a dog year. A couple quotes that I saw this week I really liked. This year, I met the most broken version of myself, but also the strongest. If you're sitting at a table of people judging others, you're likely next in line when you walk away from the table. If you protect your energy properly, it will lead you to places, people, and things you never thought were possible. Protect that shit. Enough of my quotes, enough of my personal updates, financial tips. Let's get into the reason you're here, the episode with the one and only Lindsay Hubbard. Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by entrepreneur, social media influencer, former public relations professional, and current reality TV personality on Bravo's Summer House, Lindsay Hubbard. Lindsay joined the cast of Summer House when it debuted back in 2017 and is one of the four main cast members who has been on every episode of the show, which follows a group of friends who share a house in the Hamptons throughout the summer. After 8 seasons, a 9th that just filmed this summer, and 117 episodes later, Lindsay has solidified her leading role on the hit reality show. From that, she's been able to leverage her platform into other lucrative career opportunities, including a new real estate endeavor here in Nashville, Tennessee. We are going to touch on all things Summer House, how filming season 9 was after ending her engagement with Carl, and how she is getting ready for her new baby, how it will impact her career, how she's even preparing for it financially, all the trading secrets. Lindsay, thank you so much for being on the show.
We have a lot to talk about.
We have a lot to talk about, and we are doing it in a short period of time.
We sure are.
Because you got a wedding to go to. Are you a bridesmaid?
I'm not a bridesmaid. Okay. Which I'm happy about, you know, less responsibility,
but
it is one of my really good girlfriends and I was very happy she chose Nashville.
Yeah, I love it.
I love it here. Obviously.
Country Music Hall of Fame. You know what? This is a whole sidebar here, but it is. Yeah, we talk about money on the show. The cost of like being in a wedding or being a bridesmaid these days, it's gotten these bachelorette parties, $5,000.
No, it's a lot.
People are spending money like crazy.
No, it's crazy. And the new trend is to get, you know, destination weddings.
Yeah.
Is like nobody, this is my 6th wedding this year.
Wow.
And I think it's my last for a little while.
Okay.
So 6 weddings in 1 year, all destination. None of them were in New York.
I'll tell you what, you're going to have to keep these episodes, the deals. Yeah. You're going to need more Nashville, more Nashville real estate. One last question I got on this wedding. I always talk about this. I don't know, like, what is the barometer for a gift these days? Like, what are you giving as a gift?
I know.
Wedding?
You know what? I have this conversation a lot. A lot of people don't really do these traditional registries and you can just donate to their honeymoon or honey fund or whatever it's called, or just write them a check or Venmo. It's like, it's more of cash registries these days as opposed to like actual gifts. Like, no longer are we gifting the bride pots and pans so that they can cook in the kitchen all day, every day for their husbands. But I don't know. I think if it is an overseas destination wedding, like your presence is enough. You're spending enough money, like thousands of dollars to attend that wedding. Yep. So I don't really know. The barometer, there's a range.
Okay. Are you going with your boyfriend?
I am going with my boyfriend.
So you're going with a couple. You go to this wedding. each couple on average, and then we're moving right into
the good stuff.
What do you think the average dollar amount on this wedding people
would would say, depending on how close you are.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not super close,
yep.
And I would say maybe like $250 as like a cash check donation registry.
Sure.
Honeymoon. Whatever. So I would say the lowest 250, and then if you're really close, maybe 500.
Okay. All right. There we go.
Is that fair?
That's fair. A 250.
I don't know. What do you
range.
Do?
I think that's
right. Am I off?
No, I think you're right on. I also think the area matters. Like as weird as it is, like I know New York City weddings, like I talk to people what they're going to give and it's like, it's a lot.
Right.
It's a lot. Then you go to weddings like where I grew up in Buffalo and it's like nothing. It's like, I think it depends on the location too.
Totally. Yeah. Like I went to a Portugal wedding. I went to a wedding in Italy. I went to a wedding in Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, those weddings, I'm sorry. You're just lucky that I'm here.
I love it. Lindsay Hubbard is gracing her with your presence and she's doing that on this show here right now. All right. We saw a quote from you, future Summer House. I would be on Summer House until I was 100. You started back, that was a quote from you. You start back in 2017. The seasons, I think for you, you've had this like wild roller coaster of the best
it's
seasons,
been insane.
The worst seasons, the best seasons. After looking at your time on this, over 100 episodes, what is your take on what it's done for your career and finances?
Ooh, I mean, it's kind of wild, right? Because we didn't really know where this show was going to go at all. To be honest with you, like it started with mine and Kyle's group of friends, you know, the casting directors, the producers, the executive producers, the creators, they found our group and we were already doing this lifestyle, going to the Hamptons, sharing a house together. Kyle and I had met, you know, 2 years prior to when we started filming. I met him at his house in the Hamptons in Montauk on Memorial Day weekend in 2014. So it was a lifestyle we were already living. I just wanted to pay my student loans off. I think at that point in time in 2016, when we started filming, I was still like $30,000 in debt of student loans. And I was like, shit, PR does not make any money.
it's a tough industry.
I was like, why would I choose the career that just does not make any money?
Well, let's stop right there to interrupt. How much money can you make in PR? Or were you making in New York City PR?
Yeah, PR is very top heavy. I started out.
What does that mean? Like the people at the
top? Like the people at the top, the owners, the VPs.
Sure.
And also, you know, if you work at a more corporate PR firm where, or if you're doing crisis PR, or if you are working in pharmaceutical PR, there's more money at those big, big, big corporate PR firms than the more lifestyle boutique-y PR firms, which is where I found that I fit in the best.
Okay.
So like my first job in PR, straight out of college, 2008, financial crisis, but that didn't really matter. Like either way, just in general, back then I was making $28,000 a year in New York City.
$28,000 PR.
I look back on those days and I was like, how did I survive?
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
So yeah, so then you slowly work your way up. And then I think by the time I started Summer House, so we filmed it 2016, it aired 2017, I was making, I think, $100,000 in PR.
That's because
I owned my PR firm.
Big difference.
You know, so I gave myself that salary.
Yeah.
And then just put all the pressure to, like, make sure that I had the clients to pay my own salary.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a jump from 2008 to 2016, 8 years, from 28,000 to 100,000, sure.
Yeah.
But in New York City, we also get... Can I curse on this show?
You can see that, whatever you want.
Okay, good. We get absolutely fucked with taxes.
Oh, you get completely crushed.
It's crushed.
With having a house here, you should make this place your permanent residence.
Well, I would love to, but then I'd have to spend 6 months and one day in Nashville. Yeah. And
you're like, I'd
rather it's a little
not.
Difficult.
Priorities. I looked it up. $28,000 in 2008 is equivalent to purchasing power today of $41,000. So it gives you an idea of the PR space. I want to get into Summer House. Before I do, though, I think the PR space is interesting. Tell me about when you owned the company. Who were the clients you were working with? And then I think people would be interested in, like, what is an average retainer that some of these clients would pay?
Totally. Most of my clients were hospitality accounts. So restaurants, lounges, bars, clubs, hotels in New York City. I also had different lifestyle consumer goods brands. Like, I had a baby stroller client at one point, and then various fashion beauty brands. Okay. So anything that was a brand, I never represented a person or did personal PR unless it was, you know, kind of pushing the CEO or founder in front of the brand for business stories.
And those brands on average would pay how much a month?
So because I was more of a boutique PR firm, but I was also really good, and you got me, you didn't get an assistant.
Sure.
Like, you're getting my experience.
Yeah.
I would say the my lowest retainer was around 4 to 5,000.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's
and
good.
Then
highest?
Highest I would say was probably 6 or 7,000.
And how long did they sign for?
I had a minimum of 6 months. Just
Damn,
because
that's,
when
that's
you're
great.
Working with, like, long lead, like pitching your clients for, like, long lead media placements, especially back then when actually we had print outlets that people read.
Yeah,
it takes a little bit of time, and you have to, you know, there is this process where you have to gear up and, like, understand your client and engulf yourself in the brand, and then be able to speak to it and pitch it and come up with different strategies for the next 6 months.
Interesting. All right. We're going to touch on how owning a PR company has helped you with PR as you manage your PR and some of the crises that may have come up. Before we do that, I want everyone a little background. All my people from Bravo, we have a great relationship with those people. When people come on the show, I always make sure they can share numbers, but I know certain things you contractually can't share. We'll try and skirt around it and be respectful of Bravo here. So, but that's how much I wanted you here, even though I know that you couldn't share too many numbers. But let me ask you this, get, like, roundabouts here. You're in $30,000 of debt. You're starting this brand new show with this brand new network. You don't have TV experience at this point. Can you make in that season enough to pay that $30,000 off?
Yes, I was able to pay.
Yeah. And that first, you can make enough in the first season to pay that off.
Yes.
Right. You see what I'm saying? You give me a little gray area. Here.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. I was able to pay those student loans off. I don't know if I did it, like, right away, or it might have taken, like, a year and a half, but yes, I was able to make the student loan money.
That's a PR answer from a PR powerhouse. All right, let me ask you this. I think there's a lot of people that listen to this. You're like, yeah, my friends could have a show too, because we are funny and wild. Like, why do you think, and Kyle's a good friend, you know, he's a maniac. What is it about the group that a network like Bravo's like, yeah, these are our people? Like, how did that happen?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think because everyone can relate to different people for different reasons, right? Yeah. You know, like, I might be, and Kyle and I joke about this all the time, like, he's like an alpha Leo, male. I'm an alpha Leo, female. We butt heads. We get back together, you know, but we also are both off the wall in very different ways. And then you have, you know, all of these different personalities that other viewers are relating to. Not everyone's going to relate to me. Not everyone's going to like me. Not everyone is going to understand, you know, the way I react or the way I think or perceive things, but they might understand Amanda or Sierra or Paige. So it's interesting. I think, you know, when you take like very, very different personalities, but also, you know, a lot of us do have similarities and goals that it just works, and it works with our show. We also like have the ability, unlike some of these other shows, like if you take a couple of these Housewives franchises, for example, like they're rebooting them because these arguments and like they're just not able to get through and move on and move forward.
Sure.
From some of the drama.
There's no resolve. You need the story arc, and there's no story.
And it's just like
all hate each other.
Crushing some of these shows, whereas we are able to, it might take a couple of years, but we're actually able to resolve some of our drama and or move forward from it.
That makes sense. Logistically, I want to talk about the inner workings of it. What I found interesting, I went to one of your filmings. It was so good to see you.
I know, that was so random.
Yeah, so random.
Well, but so fun.
I own a talent agency, right? And we work a lot with Amanda. We work with Kyle. We've done deals with a lot of the cast. We work with Jesse. And so we were connecting with Kyle. I was like, dude, you guys got to come. So we're just like, all right, let's come. What I found the most fascinating thing was how unproduced it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, what do you guys want me to do? Where am I going?
What is going on here? Everyone, cameras are rolling. You guys are just sitting there talking. I'm like, what? And so I've been on, you know, I've probably, whether you're cast or like a guest or whatever, I've probably been on the set now of maybe like 10, 12 different reality shows. I've never seen anything like this show where it's just like, yeah, you guys just like eat, talk, and chill. Is that how it always is? Or is there some more production value that maybe just because we're in the public, we didn't see?
I mean, we pretty much go into our weekends, right? Like we might talk to our producers and be like, you know, hey, I'm feeling this weekend. I want to, you know, get this off my chest. Or, you know, you'll have those conversations beforehand. But when you're actually in it, like no one needs to go and tell me, hey, you need to go have a conversation with this person.
Interesting.
Because I already know I want to have a conversation. So it's kind of like you work together as a team between, you know, at least on our show, our producers take a very like hands-off approach because it really, it should be organic and it should be like my true feelings. I don't need a producer to overproduce how I'm feeling. I already know how I'm feeling and
correct.
I'm able to articulate that.
That makes sense.
But yeah, it's fun because, you know, it's a Saturday night, it's during the day, we're in Montauk, you know, Kyle's going to go DJ, everyone's drinking. Obviously I was drinking mocktails, but I'm still having a great time.
Yeah.
You know, and you're having like serious conversations in the middle of all this fun. And then you're like, okay, now let's go dance and party.
The best part was like once Jesse came over, he was with someone. I'm not going to say this someone because I don't want to spoil anything. And so I just started asking him questions. I'm asking him everything. I'm like, so when did you guys meet? How often do you guys have sex? What's your love language? Like we were in the weeds.
I know.
And they were mic'd. He's like, yo, you better be careful. Like cameras are rolling
right
here. I'm like, oh shit. I didn't sign anything. I don't want to be on this.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
But I have a question about, like, when I was thinking about those questions, and I think about the way you guys do producing. You know, you are making income off social media, right? 691,000 followers on Instagram. You're making income off the show. You got your house too. Do you find, I feel like when you're in a show like that as a main character, part of your business strategy has to be, I need to be vocal. I need to be polarizing. I still need to be me. But if I'm vanilla, I'm bringing no show value. There's another business aspect of you that must be like, especially PR, if I ruin my reputation doing the things I need to do to bring ratings, I also will take a massive hit with income outside the show. Is that something that you think through? And if so, how do you balance it?
So I don't know if it's fortunately or unfortunately for me. I just sort of accidentally step in shit and like it creates story. You know, a lot of it is not manufactured, calculated, or like pre-thought of in my mind of like, okay, I need to make a good TV show. Like for me, it's always been like, this is me naturally, organically.
Yeah.
And with the understanding that it's not going to work for everyone. And it doesn't. Like I just naturally am a polarizing person. I think off TV. And I've had so many friends, good friends that have been in my life since before TV that they're like, I'm so happy you didn't change. Yeah. You know, like this is the Lindsay that I've always known. But yeah, as you start, you know, kind of like gaining seasons under your belt, you start realizing like, oh shit, like this could affect other businesses I have going on, other brands I have, you know, so you do want to keep it in line just a little bit like go and cancel yourself.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that's more of a thought once you're like, you know, gaining years under your belt. But okay,
that makes sense. How is social media income been for you?
It's gotten better. It was a slow build. I mean, really,
what's a
like
slow build? Give me some.
I would say 2020.
Okay.
COVID pandemic times was like really the jump where people were like, you know, we're transitioning to social media and brand campaigns because everyone's at home, right? So how do you capture your audience? And no one could go anywhere. So I think from there, you know, on the social media side, I don't know how many brands I worked with, maybe like five over the course of like 2020.
Okay.
But each year since then, I have probably increased by at least 30 to 40%.
Wow. So 2020, back in your day, PR, you're making 28K. 2020 and social media influencing, you're making more or less than 28K.
I was making more.
Okay. As you're moving up and up, you're 100K at the PR firm. Have you broken the 100K mark on an annual basis in social media?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I love it. And then you're like,
but I mean, it also depends.
You're like, by a long shot.
Well, no, but I think like I'm like the sporty girl, so I can work with like different, you know, athleisure or athletic brands. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, also can be the girly girl. I'm really into makeup, but I'm like not as like awesome at hair. Yeah. I'm, you know, there's just different facets and elements to my personality that I think, you know, at one point I was about to get married, so I was able to like work with different, you know, bridal brands.
Yeah.
Now I can work with different baby brands and that's a whole different market.
Totally.
You know, that opens me up. So it's really just dependent on where I'm at in my life and like, you know, how relatable I am and what I can do with that. It also depends, I think, if you have a manager, you have a team, or you have an agent, you know, because that always helps. Yeah. But yeah, you get really like savvy and you start honing in on like, who are you and what do you stand for? Yeah. Like, I'm working with a sandwich brand, like a big national sandwich chain right now. And obviously I'm working with sandwiches because I have this like legendary sandwich line that came out when I was drunk one night on season 5.
Amazing how those things happen. That's
yeah. So for me, it's like, let me monetize, you know, my idiocy and like drunken words. Like why not make money from that?
100%.
Or like my pregnancy announcement.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was an announcement I was already going to make.
It was blue.
People
blue,
were blue, very torn up about this.
Clear blue. Yeah. Why were they torn up about that?
Because
they were
like, I can't believe she like monetized her pregnant or her like pregnancy announcement. And it's like, why not? I'm going to make the announcement anyway.
Yeah.
Why not make money from it?
In a deal like that.
I used Clear Blue. I used the digital test to begin with. Like that was the test I used.
Yeah.
Like back in April when I found out I was pregnant. So why not go to them and say, hey, I used your test. I'm about to announce my pregnancy. Do you want to sponsor this?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's such a fine line in this space, right? Of like, hey, this is how I make money. Like, so like, I don't tell you to not go to your job and do your work.
Right.
I share my information. And as a result, there's an opportunity to monetize things organically that products I use. Like that's what I do. There's this other thing that I think people are saying like, oh, something like that is so special. You shouldn't intertie it. And it's like this, it's this constant balance in our world. That's so hard. And you do what you want to do and forget about the noise. Who cares what
they
say?
I mean, this is how I'm making my money. I'm not doing PR anymore. Yeah. I'm not, you know, sitting behind a desk.
That money's for the child. It's coming out.
No, literally. And my expenses just got a whole lot more.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. When you structure a deal like that with Clear Blue, they're getting a massive moment. That's a massive moment for you. As a result of that, does your rate increase?
Yeah, because that was like, that was by far the biggest announcement of my entire life.
Was it the biggest deal you've ever done?
At that point, I think it was the biggest deal. Okay. Yes. It tied another deal that I had done in the spring.
Was it more or less than what you made your first year of PR at 28K?
More.
Let's go. We love that.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
All right, we're rocking and rolling. A question I got for you. You are a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, a real estate owner, a reality star, all those things. When you go into the negotiation process, there are a ton of statistics I can rattle off of women in business and women in their careers that just don't aren't negotiating as well right now. And they're it's an area that we are closing that wage and pay gap. It's being closed. I have a theory. Not only is it going to close, it's going to flip. You've been able to do it very successfully. With the show or even with real estate, how are you and what are you doing to determine your value year to year? You've been doing this since 2017 to then go negotiate with the network, to then go negotiate for these deals. Any tips or tricks for the listeners? Because majority of the listeners are women 22 to 44.
Okay. Yeah. I think doing market research first and foremost is probably like you want to get a pulse of like what your peers and other people in your position are making, you know, for whatever deal you're working on. So I think like just like polling your friends, polling, you know, different peers in your respective industries, but also, you know, I think not being afraid to walk away.
Yeah.
Whether that's for like a deal or, you know, or anything else. Like I'm not afraid to say no.
Yeah.
I also just have an extra added layer, I think, of confidence in my negotiations. A, I live in New York City. B, I've worked in a male dominated field pretty much my whole life in hospitality. So like my whole life, I've had to literally convince men of like why I need, you know, to be at certain levels.
Yeah.
That gave me a lot of training to be able to be a tougher negotiator.
I love that.
So, but yeah, I think going into any negotiation with confidence.
Yeah.
And like really, truly understanding your self-worth and then arming yourself with the education and knowledge of market research and what your peers are making.
It's brilliant advice. With feedback like that, though, you're just setting me up to ask this. I have to ask it then. Do you do market research with your other peers? Like, do you know how much the other castmates are making on Summer House?
On other shows. Oh, no, on Summer House?
Like, do you talk to them about? Do you guys talk about?
I know how much they're making because me, Kyle, and Carl like set the tone. Like, we are the ones...
So you guys negotiate together?
Okay, so because me, I don't know how to, I'm like going to try to like put it in terms that is like really makes sense. So because we started the show together, we're at the same level.
Like seniority kind of.
Sure, you can call it seniority, but what I'm making season 9, someone who is going to be at season 9 next year, they're going to make what me, Kyle, and Carl make. Let's say
so like a Jesse Solomon comes in and he'll get paid.
So Jesse Solomon, this was his second year.
Yeah.
He's making what me, Kyle, and Carl made our second year.
Gotcha. I thought you were saying he's making what you're making now. I'm like, that's crazy. Okay.
Or like, let's say Sierra, I think she started on season 5. We just finished. So she's 4 years in.
Yeah.
Her fourth season, she's making what me, Kyle, Carl made our fourth season.
I heard a rumor that if you make it the third season, you're kind of in. Is that true?
I don't know.
And
you're
it's a big jump to the third season.
It wasn't that big of a jump.
Okay. What about...
we've had higher jumps.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of people go in and out of the show, like an Olivia Flowers, right? Like how are career and business decisions made on people like that?
I think it really depends. This has happened a couple of times on our show too, where you know, some people you're like, oh, I don't know if they're going to make it. And then other people you're like whoa,
Hannah Burner too, right?
How did that happen? Yeah, I think it just is a very different and specific formula that they're looking for with reality TV. Like, are you going to be open with your life?
Okay.
Are you going to share like some of these really tough, difficult things that most people find hard and difficult to talk about?
Yeah.
You know, like I have to constantly remind myself all the time that like, it is not very normal for the average person to share as much as like we are pretty much trained to share about our lives.
Therapists literally, their skin crawls when they're like, protect your privacy.
Yeah.
When you talk to them, they're like, how are you, this is your life is literally putting yourself in mental warfare.
No, like, and that's 100%. And like, it can have its downsides. Look at, you know, my breakup was probably one of the most humiliating moments that publicly happened to me on national television and, you know, became one of the most public moments, breakups on Bravo. So at least in the, you know, recent years next to Ariana and Tom Sandoval.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there is, there is risk involved when you do share a lot of who you are. But I think as far as the formula of what people are looking for in a cast member on a reality show, especially on Bravo, like number one, you just have to be open.
Yeah. This is a question I imagine you never got before. And it's one that's like very tied to the show, because I'd never like to get into like the drama, the breakups. That's not our show. But with the breakup, when you look at like your actual business, do you, especially being in PR, do you think the breakup financially and trajectory hurt or helped your career?
I think personally, I have always operated better for myself, whether it was on the show or social media brand campaigns, solo. I've always operated better solo.
Gotcha.
On the show, sure. I've always been better as single Lindsay, yeah. Or, you know, Lindsay, like I have a boyfriend this season on the show, but I'm there by myself. Yeah. And like, it's a different side of me, but I just have always operated better solo. So I don't know if I can really like say, oh, I got more deals or I made more money or I did this better because of the breakup.
Yeah.
I just think in general, I've always operated solo. After my breakup, 2 months later, I was in Nashville looking at houses and, you know, that whole process went quicker. I don't think I would have done that in that relationship. I wouldn't have bought a house, turn it into an Airbnb and short-term rental property to then start making money, you know, a few months after that.
That's interesting. All right. It's all about like kind of what works for you and rolling with the punches. I know we got a wrap here in just a minute.
What already?
But we are here and this has been a fascinating episode. Quickly on the Airbnb. That's a big topic in Nashville. Can you give us just a little background of it and like the success of it? Like, is it cash flowing well? What are the struggles? What are things that you didn't expect? Just the business breakdown of your Airbnb.
Yeah. So I came to Nashville. I started coming in October. And then I came in last November, went to the CMA Awards,
yeah.
Might or might not have had a date or two.
Okay.
While I was
Who
in town.
Anyone we would know?
There's been a lot of talk about it.
Why don't you talk about it on Trade Secrets?
Well, because you don't talk about those things.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's PR. It's always hard interviewing someone from PR.
Well, you're the one who said, I'm just That's using your true. Words, man.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so went to go look at houses, and then by Thanksgiving of last year, made an offer on the house.
How much?
It was a good, probably my salary.
Okay.
I'm trying to like think about it in terms of like my summer house salary. Yeah, I made an offer. I'm not going to tell you how much, okay. But I will tell you that I won the offer.
Love that.
I beat out another couple or whoever else had put an offer in. And then by, you know, the end of December, I was closing on it. By January, I was designing it. February, I was installing it.
Yeah.
And by March, I started renting it out. So I've really only been renting it out since March. We're in what, September, almost October now. Yeah. It's been about 6 months.
Yeah.
And it has slowly but surely increased depending on the market and what's going on in Nashville.
Because that was where it was going to go with like the purchase price and all that. I was going to try and do the calculations to see if you're, are you cash flowing positively monthly with your mortgage? Is the income you're making more than the mortgage and the expenses?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm able to pay off my mortgage and then also dedicate a certain amount of money to my New York City rent.
Okay. Hell
because
yeah.
I'm still in that apartment.
Hell yeah.
That everyone was so concerned about the price tag of my rent. And I am supplementing the price tag of that rent with my Nashville house.
For the people that haven't heard about it, can you tell people how much that rent was?
Well, it was $13,000 a month.
Yeah.
And I was so lucky, like when I decided to stay in the apartment and renew my lease for one more year, I had a discussion with my landlord, and she is a badass entrepreneur, by the way.
Let's have her on too.
Yeah, no, you should. Literally, she's a big deal, which I love, right? Yeah. But I think that's why we get along, me and her. So she actually reduced my rent for
me. Hell yeah.
So it's no longer $13,000 a month.
Cool.
It is a little less than that. But again, I supplement
that
some of that rent
from Nashville.
From Nashville.
That is a trading secret in itself. Lindsay, as we're wrapping up the last topic, I have to ask, congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you preparing for finances with a child? First and foremost, when you think about your career, will you be on Summer House next year for season 10?
I mean, I hope so. I don't know in what capacity.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is a big life change. And it's no longer just me involved. It's like by next summer, my daughter will be 7-8 months old.
Yeah.
So I can't exactly go live in the house every weekend in a party house.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're going to do. I know that we're talking about it and we're trying to figure out what we're doing with Lindsay as far as the next steps, but I don't know quite what's going to happen with Summer House. We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. And anything you're doing financially or money related to start preparing for the child?
I mean, I'm trying to take on as many social media brand campaigns as possible.
Yeah.
And just continuing to show up as, you know, a team player on reality TV. Because maybe if there is no more Summer House for me, maybe there's something else.
Yeah.
I think I've spent 9 seasons now proving myself to be as dynamic as I possibly can, you know, in order to set myself up and continue my career beyond, you know, partying in the Hamptons.
I love it.
Hopefully we figure it out together. Come on, Bravo.
In some capacity, you're going to be there and you're going to be killing it. The last thing I got for you is like, I always remember, I've been back and forth with this because I think about just how you grow as a human. To stay in one lane wouldn't do justice for yourself, right? Like you grow, you change, you think. And there's a time I was like very traditional, like, oh, I hope I get married and then have kids. And I'm like, oh, I would just have kids. I don't need to be married. And then I'm like, I would just be lucky to even have a healthy child at this point, right? So I've changed so much from that. And a question I have for you is, are you content with what this is? Or do you feel pressure to be like, I should be married now that I'm going to have the child? Or what's your overall take on that? Because I think so many people go through that right now.
Totally. No, I don't feel the pressure to be married. I also, similar to you and your mindset and mental journey of like how this was all going to pan out, very similar as to what you said, like thought it was all going to happen in a traditional way. Always had like that idea of this fairy tale of like engagement, marriage, babies, you know, in that order. And then shit hit the fan last year and everything became unknown. And I was, you know, basically dumped at the altar, like 2 months out from getting married. And I was like, well, shit, like what does my life look like? Now, I think I was always forcing a path that the universe was like, no.
Yeah.
And then the universe decided this was going to be my path.
Right.
And it's definitely out of order.
Yeah.
You know, I started dating my boyfriend in January and found out we were pregnant in April, you know, 3 months later. So that's kind of like, holy, whoa, what just happened here? I mean, we all know how babies are made, but spoiler alert. But yeah, it was, you know, at that point in time when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, yo. Let's just take everything else off the table. Like I am not at all thinking about getting engaged or, you know, getting married. That is the last thing on my mind.
Yeah.
And I'm not even thinking about moving in together right now.
Yeah.
I think that we live in a modern world. This is what the universe wanted. It wanted me to have a child first, and here we are. Let's not put the pressure in, you know, on the relationship in any other way.
Yeah.
And I'm just sort of like taking it in a stride and seeing what happens. Like, do I really hope that there is the word forever attached with my relationship? Yeah. Yes, I do. I wouldn't be in it otherwise.
Yeah.
But what last year taught me is that I'm a little bit more realistic about relationships. And, you know, like I was like just about there and then it all blew up. So I wouldn't say I have like trust issues when it comes to, you know, the longevity of relationships, but I would say I'm definitely more realistic and have and wear that lens, you know. But I also am a very strong girl, and you know, I operate very independently. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't really know what my path is. I'm just sort of letting the universe figure it out, because the universe did not like when I was trying to force it. But I think for those of us on Bravo, like this seems to be more of the direction we go in anyway. If you look at half the cast of Vanderpump, you know, Sheena and Brock, like they had Summer Moon before they were married. Exactly. Lala just had her second baby from a sperm donor, you know? So I think we need to somehow figure out as a society to get rid of these, you know, ideals and of what is conventional and what is traditional. Like that just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. When we try and force the order gets completely put in disarray. And sometimes the order will just work out. Like we can't, there's only so much you can control in this life. And it feels like the more you're trying to control the uncontrollables, the more things don't work out in your favor.
Right.
So,
and like, and it truly is like, what if, you know, what if this was always meant to be my fairy tale?
Yeah.
You know, I've been very, very open and clear my, you know, whole Summer House career, like almost every season talking about how I really want to have a family. Yeah. My ultimate goal was always to have a family.
Yeah.
So like now I got it.
You got it.
At least the start of it.
Yep.
And I think the rest will either, but it'll just fall into place.
It'll fall into place. Well, Lindsay, we will definitely have you back. I got a million more questions for you, but this was a beautiful, I'm not even going to call it warm up. This was like an unbelievable plate table full of awesome entrees with a little bit of a meal. We're going to get more of the meal and dessert next time, but we got to wrap up with a trading secret. So something that someone couldn't learn from a professor, a textbook, or a TikTok tutorial only through your career life. It could be money. It could be life, whatever you got. It's just special to you, your trading secret.
Okay. I think people, and it's the most simple trading secret.
Okay.
But we often overlook it and we forget about it, but it is to follow your gut in anything and everything that you do. And especially in your career, you know, a lot of times when you're trying to figure out where your career is going or if there's a fork in the road or if it's changing, like you have to truly listen to your inner monologue and what your gut is telling you.
Yeah.
I also think secondary trading secret, just don't be afraid to say no.
Yeah.
You know, like you have your integrity and your integrity alone and, and you know, just self-respect and self-worth and, and just understanding that, you know, it is okay to say no, because 100%. In the end, it'll all work out.
Yeah. And the times you do say yes, become that more valuable, right? Because there's power in yes. And I completely agree. Trust your gut. And I also think something I've been thinking about lately is like when your gut's speaking to you, as opposed to reacting, like respond to really understand what, like dig into the gut. Like what, why it's telling me something. Let's really understand it.
And I truly think the times that I've gone wrong were the times that I did not trust my gut. And I looked back, obviously hindsight,
of course,
2020, but like every time I looked back, I was like, ah, my gut told me one thing and I didn't listen to it.
Yep.
And this is why I'm in this position. So
100%. Well, I kept you a little long, so we got to get you out of here. You got to go celebrate over a wedding. But Lindsay, thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets. Where can everyone find everything you have going on?
Instagram, Linz Hubs.
Yep.
You can rent my house if you want in Nashville.
Where can they find it?
Hubhousenashville.com. That's Hub with two B's.
Okay.
Also have an Instagram, Hubhouse Nashville.
Sweet.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at so far.
Go check check it out. You know what? Maybe one thing we're going to think about on Trading Secrets is doing a giveaway. Maybe we'll rent the house out for a weekend and give it to one of our lucky listeners. So let me talk to the team if we could pull that
off.
Yeah,
let's
do it.
Or we could do like a baby moon.
Yeah, baby moon party.
A baby moon at my Nashville house.
Let's go. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for being on. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Ding, ding, ding. We are ringing in the bell. And boy, we are back and better than ever with the one and only the Curious Canadian. It's been a couple weeks since he's been in the hot seat with me. So, David, it is so good to have you back. And before we even get to this episode, how the hell are you?
I'm great. How are you? Christmas season, baby.
Christmas season. I'm feeling good. I am ready to wrap this year up, and I am ready to kick the fucking doors down in 2025.
Hey, December, did you get all your Christmas shopping done? December 22nd, recording this at 8:23 p.m. on Sunday night. I just got all my stuff done today.
I got most of it done. I had it sent here, but I still got a couple last things to do, you know? You did it all today?
I think December 22nd is a record for me to be done.
Do you think Ashley listens to this or no?
She knows. I mean, she has...
You already know... Wait. She already knows... What? She knows what you got her?
No, but she knows that I'm done shopping.
Oh, but what'd
you get her?
She
doesn't know what I got her. Oh, yeah, no. We won't risk it.
Won't risk it for the biscuit?
Yeah, we won't risk it. Just in case. All right.
We talked about this on the episode with Lindsay Hubbard about how do you know how much to spend for a wedding? How do you know how much to spend for your Christmas gifts?
Oh, you set a limit and then you go over it out of like just a little bit though, just to show that you went over the limit. But we have a pretty short, we have a pretty small limit, but we go over it every year.
So you guys agreed to create a limit and then and you'll just like, you'll touch and go with it a little bit.
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. I like it. That's cool.
Yeah, it's like the foundation, so you don't go out of control where you're opening gifts in front of the other person and you look at them, you're like, well, you know we can't afford this. What are you doing? But it's just enough over where you're like, you know what, that's sweet. Thank you.
I think everyone, I'm sure in some regard, like, doesn't matter how much it is. Everyone, of course, has some idea of what they're going to spend. And I think regardless of like how big that is or how small it is, to me, gifts like are really about intention and thought. Like how much thought did you put into it? And you could spend $10 and put in like amazing thought and it can be incredible. Don't you think?
100%. We have our staples we get each other every year just because we know that they would never buy that thing for themselves. And then we try and mix up one or two thoughtful things, whether it be cheesy, thoughtful or thoughtful. Yeah. So it's great.
I'll tell like my little trading secret. I always do for gifts for Christmas because we do big gifts here. Like, and when I say that, like my mom still lives in the nostalgia of like us being children, and we'll come downstairs. The stockings will be full. There will be presents wrapped everywhere. Like that's just how she rolls. And I feel like based on how my year went, like how was it a good year? Not that's how much I'll decide to spend. And so this was a really good year. So I'm ripping. Let's go.
We could have a whole episode on Christmas nostalgia and traditions. I think your family and my family probably did Christmas very, very similarly. If I were to guess.
I guess this is a bit of a Christmas episode. So everyone out there, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. Before we get into Lindsay Hubbard, while we're on the topic, let's just do one, David. What is one interesting tradition that you guys did?
Well, I don't know if it's a tradition, but we would sit when it was time to open presents. We would sit in our circle in our chairs and one person would open up a present at a time.
We still do that.
Yes, dude, I love that. I tried doing that with just Ashley and Carter, and Ashley looks at me like I have 10 heads, and like I go to her house, it's chaos, man. There's like 50 people opening presents at once. I have like anxiety from it.
Wait, I love the like, all right, mom, it's your turn. Like, and then you get to
You get to see the reactions. And you know what? That's where gift giving becomes gift giving. If you know that when that person opens your gift, everyone's sitting and staring and watching, you're going to want to make sure it's a good gift.
100%.
There's just a lot of psyche towards that. So it takes like four or five hours to open gifts.
Yeah. And then it's like, I'd say we probably doing like two hours.
Yeah, so sorry.
So.
Probably two, three hours.
But it's like, maybe when we were kids, it was more like probably three. But I think I love it. It shows like we're all paying attention. Oh my God, that's going to be perfect. You got that gift. It gives value to the gift as opposed to just like a shit show frenzy of just ripping gifts. You know,
not to mention it extends the best you know, what is the best part of Christmas, which is the gift giving.
Yeah.
Like, it extends that. Like, I don't want that over in 10 minutes, trying to keep track of where all my shit went.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's, no, that's great. That's the one thing that I do miss. I'm gonna try. The Splutters are...
Give it a go.
They're a high-energy bunch, so it's you can't get them to sit still for very long.
For at least one round, you should do for one round, everyone go around the horn, let's just do a one, and then you go free-for-all.
Correct.
Yeah, one tradition, we always do gifts in the morning, and then we always do a big brunch, and then we always just sleep and relax, and then we always do, like, more of, like, my mom's, like, a more of a Jewish tradition is, like, we'll do, like, Chinese food and a movie. Actually, that's like the next day, I think. I think we usually do that the next day. But anyway, but back in the day, we always had all the gifts and we had all these people over for brunch. Grandma, you know, grandpa, all the relatives, the Danheisers would come and then we would have a big dinner too. So good times. Merry Christmas to all. Happy Hanukkah and happy holidays from everyone at Trading Secrets, from David and I to you guys back home. Thank you for being with us another year. And that reminds me, we do have a Jason Tells All episode coming here soon. So David will get ready for that. But David, I mean, come on. We're 6 minutes in. We haven't even talked about Lindsay and she was on fire. Talk to me.
Well, speaking of Christmas, I mean, Lindsay Hubbard, is she not the gift that keeps on giving? I mean, let me tell you, I'm a Summer House guy. I've watched it through and through. She's been on every season, obviously, from the start. So, you know, we've seen her grow and sometimes digress. But all the things that we've seen is her authentic self. One thing that always impresses me about Lindsay, and I think I didn't even realize it to this podcast, you know, we're on 220 something episodes, Jay, and sometimes I listen to these episodes before we recap them on the bus with the hockey team. Sometimes I'm just in my car. Today I was shoveling snow in the driveway.
Okay.
Her voice, her presence, when you can't even see her and how she responds to things was my biggest takeaway. Like she is, whether it's PR training or something, she has one of the most powerful presence, like, ever. Like, she's not shy. She doesn't shy away from anything. She speaks her mind. She's very confident. She tells she's been through some stuff, which made her even stronger and harder. She's like, she was very impressive. And I already know how she is on camera, but just behind a mic, how, like, through the speakers, her tone, her voice, her presence was just so powerful. I thought it made for a great episode.
There's something about one, I think it's practice, right? But I also think there's something about people that just know themselves to, like, the truest core and just don't give a shit that make the best episodes, because they just say what they're thinking. They're not overthinking everything. They're just saying it and they're saying it with confidence and it is what it is. And so I think there's something about that. And I mean, you could look at that at anybody that is an unbelievable speaker, people that can get on a podium and speak. They can say it with confidence. They don't think twice about it. They know what they're doing. They got their tone down. They know how to emphasize things. I mean, she just has that. Like, when you're listening to this episode, when she speaks, you listen. You might not agree. You might not like it. You might love it, but you listen, and that's what she has.
Yeah, just that presence, and it carries into the show too. I think one of the most interesting things, and we've had a lot of Summer House people on, which has been great. But I didn't realize, even when we talked about it with Kyle and everything, how the cast members get paid, how the bar is set with Lindsay, Kyle, and Carl, because they're the OGs. And so no matter what season that you're filming for yourself, you get paid what they got paid on that season. So I thought that was interesting, and it doesn't account for inflation, because we've been on 9 seasons. So if you're on season 2 and it's 2025, you're getting paid the same as they got paid for season 2 and rewind the clocks in 2016, which is kind of crazy to think. But it's also like, yeah, stay here and you'll get the benefits as long as we stay here, because we're going to keep driving the rates up. So did you think that was an interesting kind of pay structure, pay scale?
I like it. It's like old school, a little traditional,
old school,
like kind of gangster a little bit, you know?
Yes.
I kind of like it. I do feel like a lot of obviously, if you guys are new to the show, you've been around forever, Real Housewives, we've had almost every one of them on. We have some more coming, by the way. So that's exciting. But their structure was similar too. Like, all the OGs got paid the same. And I think they're adjusted. And I know other shows out there, I'm not going to say it's specific ones, but there are other competition shows that are exactly the same. Like, you get paid still to this day, the exact same thing that the first people got paid season 1. And then it goes up from there. So, you know, I see it. It's different. What else were you surprised by?
Well, surprised that you decided to drop that you were on an episode. that you were on set for filming.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I was there. I didn't sign anything, so I don't. They're not going to use anything. But I was there watching it all happen. It was kind of interesting. I was there
What do you mean watching it all happen? Well, like, what was the setting? Talk me through it.
Yeah, we were in the Hamptons, and I was in the Hamptons with Kat at the time, and John and Alex. And John and Alex were like they were big fans of the show. And so I was like, and they just wanted to go meet the cast, you know? And I was like, actually, I think we can go to filming. So we called Kyle, and Kyle was like, yeah, I'll set you guys up with some lover boys and you guys sit there and hang out and like, we'll just have a great time. So we had a table, lover boys were flowing. They were filming right next to us. A bunch of them came over and talked with us like during, some of which I thought some of those conversations were actually being recorded because there was like some really, like there was some tea being dropped. They weren't recorded. And then we actually went out with all of them. Like we went out to the like club with all of them until late night. And they're a wild group. Like, actually would like, if I'm single in the summer, I would love to go on that show. I would love to, but it's like, you got to just rip it. Cause they're all just, correct, everyone's just ripping it. You have to still be yourself, like have fun, but like, it's different. You know, the biggest difference I couldn't believe. Here's the biggest difference. I could not believe in The Bachelor and stuff. And some of the other shows I've been on, even Tyler Cameron's show. It's very like, okay, you're in the scene and then the producer's watching, a producer comes in and like produces, that's their job. And in this show, I didn't see any of that. Everyone was just being, just they're existing. And there weren't producers like, oh, so what do you think about this and this? And what do you think of, like nothing. It was just like us sitting here like this for hours though. And I guess they must just get so much footage, they don't need to produce it.
How many, like when you're at the filming, how many cameras are there? Is it like a noticeable presence of like a massive camera crew?
I mean, everyone knows that a show's filming, but it's not. It was like maybe, I don't know, maybe like three or four, which like maybe even less than that. Where like The Bachelor, it's like, you know, it's crazy. Their production in the mansion is crazy how many cameras are out.
And when you went to this bar or club after, were cameras there with you too? Like, do they follow them 24/7 or is it very much like we're going to shoot this scene today?
They were filming before we got there, and then we showed up late and they weren't filming anymore. So apparently, because you know, they have like set time where they have to be at the club until this time and then they're done. Right. And that's when like Amanda and all them went home. So it was just the guys that were left there. But like Wes was there. And Kyle was there and some of the new guys were there too. Jesse was there, et cetera.
I always find it interesting too, how when they're at the summer house, they have cameramen at the house, in the house. It's not one of those like Love Island shows that have done such a good job of like so many like cameras behind like two-way mirrors that, you know, you're or like a Big Brother where there's no actual cameraman in the house. All the angles and cameras are built in the house. So it's just, it's like a little bit of a throwback reality TV show.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's like Real World mixed with Bravo Sensation, mixed with Jersey Shore. It's like fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. I love it too. And I was talking to Kyle, I don't know how long ago it was, and he was saying, you know, it's tough with Bachelor people because like he's like, it's like you guys already have such like predisposition to your show and like how you guys think it should be, and it's so different than like what our show is. And so, you know, because they've thought about having other people from the franchise on, they haven't. So, we'll see. I'm going to knock on his door one day and just be like, listen, Kyle, one episode, let's go. Let's just do this.
He would 100%. I think he would 100% do it, knowing what I know. But yeah, that would be great. And just, you know, the Summer House show in general, like you, I think one thing that Lindsay said is like the fact that they've stayed with pretty much the core cast, like they haven't had to reboot like some of these Housewives shows with like an entire new cast, shows that like, you know, these people are willing to go through thick and thin and put themselves out there. And it's got to be, for all the people who are probably jealous of their lifestyle, it's got to be one of the hardest things to do, to be that open, that vulnerable, talk about that much stuff, get put on blast on national TV, and then just sign up for it again the next year. But, you know, all the success to them.
They got a really good thing going. They're like all the, I honestly, there's not one person I've met from that show that I don't like. Like, I really like them all too. And, you know, and they have different like levels of talent, right? Like Paige is like a queen, right? And then you have some of these newer people who like just started. And it's interesting to see like the different, like, I don't know, just dynamics history. Like, it's like a senior in high school and like a freshman kind of.
I was going to say, it's probably like a sports locker room. You got like a vet and a rookie.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of cool. And I think all of them do really well on social, and they're continuing to roll and support Bravo. Like, if anyone that's on that show right now, that's staying on that show, like, buy stock in those people. Like, that's like, it's a good show. I think, and I don't think it's going anywhere.
No, I definitely don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, it's a made for TV show, and their socials back it up too. And for those people too, it's not a full life commitment. I mean, it's probably what, 8 weeks in the summer that they're filming for. So, you know, and even that, it's only on the weekend. So it's not even like it's a full blown commitment. They still get to have real lives, quote unquote. So, I mean, yeah, sign you up. I'm down for that. I'll manifest that.
Who knows? Whatever. I don't. 2025 is going to be weird. I don't know. Oh God,
I'm into weird. I can't. JTA. I was already thinking back to 2024 and our JTA and what you said, thought your theme was going to be, and we'll clip that for 2025 and see, and you can comment on if it played out the way that you were planning on too. So.
I was thinking
if 2025 the theme's going to get weird, like, I'm so down for that.
It's just going to get weird, I think. 2024, I was thinking about it today. This is the best way. And then I want to give me one more thing from Lindsay's episode before we wrap here.
Yeah.
But 2024, I was thinking, you know how in like movie scenes when someone's like passing away on their deathbed and they do like this quick rundown, it's like a slideshow of their life, you know, before they pass, like they have all these memories. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like they see themselves as a kid and then they see their parents, all this stuff. That's what's gonna happen to me. Like, you know, I'm gonna be in my deathbed one day and like it's just gonna like run through, but like it's gonna stop at 2024, and 2024 is gonna be like 10 minute longs, and then it's just gonna rip through everything else. Like, this year there was a lot that happened. Holy shit.
Yeah. Woo! There was
a lot of action.
There is a lot of valleys,
2023, 2024. Wow.
Wow.
Those were like 10 years for me, I feel like. I'm like a dog.
It was like COVID years all over again.
It's like dog years where 1 year's like it was literally the same thing. Oh, well, it's gonna get weird. This podcast is gonna continue to get better. We're working on a few things behind the scenes. So when that JTA, we'll share some of the things that we're working on, but change is coming. We'll need your feedback. Continue to give us 5 stars. If you have questions for me on JTA, let me know. David will make sure to ask. Throw those in the comments with the review. If you could make sure you're subscribing to our YouTube, follow us on Instagram. David, anything else from Lindsay that you want to make sure we brought up in the recap before we wrap?
No, I it's called Trading Secrets. If I don't bring up the guest trading secret, it's usually a disservice, but just it kind of just goes with her personality. Trust your gut, and it's okay to say no. To just at the end of the day, powerful things that you are in control of as a human being. Is trusting your gut, believing in yourself to the point where you can do those things that she's doing, change the trajectory of life, and then also have the power to say no to people, to opportunities, to things that don't fit your morals, your brands, and your path. So all the respect in the world, Lindsay. Like, I've not always liked her on the show, but I do. I'm so happy for her, and I think she's doing amazing. And I'm this episode did help me become more and more of a fan of her. So I thought you guys did a great job.
I love it. Well, if I talked about stock, if I could buy stock in a show, I would. If I could buy stock in a person, I would buy stock in Lindsay Hubbard. I think she has a big future ahead
of her.
Bulldog. Yeah, wherever it's going to be. Like, I don't know. It might even be like maybe talk show on TV, something, whatever it is, because who knows what her time looks like on the show. It feels like it might be relatively limited. I would buy stock in her. I think something big's happening, and it's going to continue to happen. And I'll end with this. Huge congratulations. I said in the intro already, but Lindsay just had her baby girl, Gemma Britt. All the pictures and photos online are unbelievable. It's so cute. So adorable. If you don't follow her, definitely go follow her, Lynn's Hubs. You'll want to see these pictures. Huge congratulations to Lindsay there. David, anything before we finish this recap?
Hope she's getting her sleep. Fatherhood. It's it'll get you. But I'm just excited for Christmas. Christmas morning with Carter, baby. Sign me up.
Christmas morning with Carter. Truly a dream come true. I'm so happy for you and your family. And that's exciting stuff, man. I love it. Well, we'll be back here with the JTA here soon. We have some great episodes and guests that are coming up. Seriously, I'm excited. The founder of LTK is coming. We have a therapist coming on. We have Batsheva. Oh my God, the journey from my unorthodox life, talking about what it was like living in Orthodox religion and some of the curiosities and things that you would never know we talk about. There are just some great episodes coming your way. So thank you for tuning into another episode of Trading Secrets, one you can't afford to miss.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.